Free Talk Live, and of course, you can dial in toll-free, take control of the airwaves, bring up anything that's on your mind with you in the studio tonight. It's Ian.
It's Vincent.
And Mark.
Of course, you can join us on Skype at Skype username lrn.fm. That allows you to connect with us and sound almost like you're sitting in the studio here with us. Plus, again, toll-free number where you can take control of the airwaves is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So the Trump travel ban, I guess, is back to some extent.
Yeah, it's been modified and it's back.
But there's already, obviously, some conflict in the courts over it. And, of course, we reported on it months ago when he first took office. What was it, a week after Trump took office, that he tried out travel ban number one, was relatively quickly overturned by the courts.
Sure.
And he vowed to try it again with a more robust version of the ban. Well, according to, and by the way, Judge Napolitano is in hot water regarding Trump. Vincent, you're going to be talking about that story coming up here on Free Talk Live. But related to this travel ban story, there's a headline over the weekend from Politico.com that apparently there's some conflict over the travel ban in the Ninth Circuit. Headline here, the story from Politico.com, President Donald Trump's travel ban has triggered an unusually caustic public spat among the judges of the federal appeals court that first took up the issue. The disagreement began...
Is that the Ninth Circuit?
Yes.
Okay.
The disagreement began to play out publicly on Wednesday when five Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals judges publicly recorded their disagreement with the decision of three of their colleagues issued last month.
That's the same circuit that has California and
Correct.
Is often referred to as the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals.
Right. It's generally considered to be a more liberal court. And so they recorded their disagreement with the decision of three of their colleagues issued last month, refusing to allow Trump to reinstate the first version of his travel ban executive order. The fight escalated dramatically on Friday of last week with the five Republican-appointed judges filing another withering attack on the earlier opinion, and two liberal judges accusing their conservative colleagues of trying to make an end run around the traditional judicial process. In the new opinion, Judge Alex Kaczynski blasted the earlier ruling for essentially ignoring the fact that most of those affected by Trump's initial travel ban have no constitutional rights, which, of course, is, in my opinion, the wrong interpretation. The Constitution, and we touched on this a few days ago, but the Constitution doesn't specify only people from the United States have rights. It just talks about people. People, period. Because of the virtue, the fact that they are human beings, have rights, and the U.S. government is supposed to recognize and respect those rights.
I think it's stated incorrectly. So the U.S. Constitution's pretty clear that that the federal government gets to control naturalization.
Mm-hmm.
Naturalization is as close as it can be tied to citizenship, right? It's tied to immigration. It's tied to these things. Immigration isn't specifically mentioned in the Constitution because, at the time,
it's a free country.
Well, no, it wasn't a free, country.
A lot more free in a lot of ways.
At the time, nations understood the value of people coming in, right? So socialism in its, during the progressive era and that sort of thing, the implementation of socialism in a more broad fashion in around the world made people less valuable. So there are two assets in the world, frankly. There's people power and then there's sort of the whatever you can draw from the land. And those are the things that governments have traditionally fought over. They want population and they want land. Now governments don't want people. And the reason they don't want people is because they have social welfare programs that hand out a bunch of free stuff. They put out a bowl of cat food every morning and then complain that stray cats come to their door. And that is the problem fundamentally.
Well, some of them want that.
Some in the government would want that because
sure
it's in a sense importing voters. It's easier to import people to pay taxes, pay the government salaries than it is to have people in the country, give birth and then they'd have to, lose government money to go through education and everything. It's much easier just to import people to pay their taxes and fill their coffers.
Well, I don't know that they I think that in many cases, the people who support immigration, there's a lot of them that support it simply because it will increase Democratic voting rolls. Okay.
Right. I mean, if they're getting on welfare, then they're not necessarily paying taxes.
I don't think most of them, the numbers don't actually show that immigrants are likely to get on welfare.
It's just a
fear mainly propagated by the internet and email chains and all this sort of thing. However, it's a completely fair concern and people's fears are justified. If you look at refugees and all the things that refugees get. Yeah, they get a bunch of stuff. I think that people should be able to flee tyrannical governments and come here to the United States for a better life, as people have done for generations before this. However, I don't think that I should be obligated to give them one shiny nickel.
Right. Well, that would be, an ideal world where we could all individually decide who to help.
That's kind of what the Constitution's supposed to be. I mean, it was, the U.S. government sprung out of the Enlightenment era. This is an era.
Right. The rights that the Constitution or the Bill of Rights protects are not the positive rights, where a positive right is the idea that you have a right to something, right to some sort of service or product. Whereas a negative right is the idea that you have a right to be left alone, a right to freedom of speech on public property, or a right to bear arms, for instance. So these are all things that you should be able to do that aren't a cost to someone else, whereas a positive right is usually at a cost to somebody else, like free health care, for instance, or free education. And so anyway, that Bill of Rights is a document respecting negative rights of the populace. And so therefore, any amount or additional amount of people that are added to the populace should not, in the ideal system, add an extra burden to the government. That is a incorrect interpretation. Just because you're not born in the United States doesn't mean you don't have rights. You're a human being. So of course you have rights, and everyone's rights should be equally, respected. But let's go on with the story here. Kaczynski.
Well, I don't. So that's what I was trying to point out is that the Constitution is specific about naturalization and about the federal government's ability to handle that. So therefore, I would say that a U.S. citizen has a right and or at least a power. Let's call it a power, because that's a better terminology. But they'll call them rights oftentimes. It has the power to cross a border in a way that a non-U.S. citizen does not have a power to cross the border into the United States. Does that make sense?
That doesn't have anything to do with the Constitution, though.
All right. Well, yes, it does.
No, naturalization is just a process of becoming a citizen. That's all. You could, in the old United States, prior to the whole immigration bureaucracy, you could come here and live here without becoming a citizen.
It's true.
So naturalization was a choice and an option for you at that time.
But then you had to actually buy property and, live by yourself. You couldn't live off the government's teat.
Yeah, well, that's true as well.
And the Alien and Sedition Act, enacted during Adams's administration, the second president, it was called unconstitutional. Certainly, that's the case. However, it immediately, Alien, points out that they're immediately beginning to control who can come and what they say when they come.
Because those damn Irish.
I'm not sure what who they were upset about at the time.
At some point, it was the Irish.
His opposition,
Jefferson, he appealed more to poor farmers and immigrants who wanted to come over and start sort of smaller farms.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we've seen that immigrants are more likely to be entrepreneurial. That's a true
interestingly, they didn't do much voting. Washington was voted in with 2% of the electorate.
Really?
Yeah. Now, this is an argument for
they
me.
They voted the first president in? I would have figured he'd have been appointed.
By whom?
That's
what the Constitution was written for, man. No, okay. The Constitution is very clear on how they get voted in. Washington was voted in almost unanimously by electors. Huh. And those electors were voted on by people, but only 2% of the population actually participated, which just goes to show those people that say that, hey, don't vote, it delegitimizes the government.
How'd that work?
Washington seems pretty legitimate.
All right, more on the controversy between the Ninth Circuit over the Trump travel ban. Your thoughts are welcome. 855-450-FREE. Join us here. It's Free Talk Live. Join us here toll free. Bring up anything you want. Our number, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And Bitcoin.com is the most unique online destination in the Bitcoin universe. If you're buying Bitcoin, you can do it at Bitcoin.com. Want to speak your mind to other Bitcoin users? The Bitcoin.com forum is always open and censorship free at forum.bitcoin.com. There are no bigger Bitcoin believers than the Bitcoin.com team. In fact, Mark, you're wearing their t-shirt tonight. That is why that Bitcoin.com is a one-stop shop for everything that you need to get into Bitcoin life. You can also play games at games.bitcoin.com. Learn more at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com. As we continue, you can take control of the airwaves here. Let's go to the phones, to the fun, then we'll talk more about the Ninth Circuit judges that are, I guess, having a public feud, as Politico describes it, over the recent Trump travel ban part due. Let's go first, though, to Tom in Nashua, New Hampshire. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Tom. Hello?
I can't hear you.
Okay, well, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, now I can hear you.
All right.
It's about yesterday afternoon. I was driving home from Nashua to my home in Hudson, and the usual traffic jam, traffic moving very slowly, I saw a woman climbing over the railing on the bridge over the Merrimack River. And I was able to stop my car right there and get out because, see, a lot of people stop and think of what to do. And libertarians, of course, have to remember, you don't go calling in gun-toting goons in bulletproof vests to deal with a harmless individual. But somebody did.
Ugh.
And so, anyway, I'm walking up to her. And I ask her if she needs help climbing back over the railing onto the sidewalk, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And then say, you know, I can't really give you much advice if I don't know what it is that's bothering you so much here. You know, like just for example, if you're not having any luck getting a job, then I could talk to you about how to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
See, it doesn't really work if, see, you ask them questions. And a lot of these questions are loaded. Just like if I was to ask you if you're hungry, that means you want me to serve you some free food. And it wouldn't really, they don't really necessarily want somebody to just feel so bad that they'll give them, just let's say, a job. But what was bothering her was that the state took her kid away from her.
Oh, geez.
And the kid, I asked, is the kid in good hands? And yeah, she's with the mother. And then I heard the sirens, and of course, being a libertarian, I don't like these gun-toting goons in bulletproof vests being the busybodies. But you see, too many people delegate their own responsibility to the bureaucrat.
You mean the responsibility to help a neighbor in need?
Yeah, the moral responsibility to just talk it to somebody who is in such emotional pain that you might not have thought about the other options. And I didn't really have time to think about what advice to give somebody in that particular situation, which would be to talk to her. There's people that, you know, I can look up down at the library for you that can help you deal with, you know, because they do have a lot of horror stories about very lame excuses for taking somebody away from her.
Mm-hmm.
But then, let's be honest, you know, if it's partly your fault, then we'll figure out what to do about correcting those deficiencies. You know, I'm hearing the siren, Hudson Police coming over the bridge westbound.
Right, as soon as they get on the scene, they're going to draw down on you and tell you to stand back, probably.
Well, I was astute enough to take her side, showing whose side I'm really on here. I said, by the way, this cop doesn't even have any authority right now because this is a Hudson cop, and you are in the city of Nashua on this half of the bridge.
Hmm.
So, which, but then the cop asked me if I know her. And I said, no, I'm just trying to talk her down. Yeah, well, I appreciate it. And, of course, the Nashua police are arriving there. And they do have training on how to talk to somebody
mm-hmm.
in that situation, too. And, you know, if I don't know much about first aid, and I know that the cops do, then if somebody is bleeding, I stand back and let the cops deal with the first aid because I don't know as much about it as they do.
Right.
Well, a concerned citizenry is always going to be on the case before emergency personnel mm-hmm. are able to arrive. And that's what you did is a wonderful thing, and you were able to help that person. In many cases, as a fireman, I can tell you, sometimes the concerned citizenry bork it all up, and you've got to undo what they've done. So whether the professionals are government paid or not, they're still the professionals. So I hesitate to say that always just leave it in the hands of the citizens. I certainly don't believe that. But I do think that in most cases, somebody who's on the scene is able to do a great deal of good in the first few instances.
Yeah. What I kind of like CPR before the ambulance gets there to keep them alive until the ambulance gets there. And now I return to my car, and they got so many police vehicles in the way, then I was just sitting there watching. And, of course, your audience is in suspense. This would be, a really nasty time to take a break while they're in suspense like this about what happened. But, when she turned her back, so it's not really that high of a drop anyway, but when she turned her back, they ran in and grabbed her, and they were able to take her in, which is, of course, being sarcastic here, let's say that's always the perfect way to brighten up somebody's day and make her glad to be alive.
Right, throw her into a crazy house or something like that, or wherever it is they take people.
And drug her. But I still have to admit, even though I call myself a libertarian extremist, that I was somewhat relieved to see, okay, they got her. She doesn't jump. But then, what really is the good of prolonging her agony if she would rather jump?
And do they the argument, I think, is generally that a person who is doing something like that is just calling out for attention, that ultimately they're wanting to be seen by someone and wanting to be shown an interest.
She did pick rush hour.
Yeah. But what I'm curious, though, is it illegal to attempt suicide in New Hampshire? In some states, as I understand it, it is. And so then, not only are you getting collared by the police, you're also getting a criminal charge brought against you. When talking about brightening your day, now you've got a criminal charge against you for trying to kill yourself. Yeah. Do you happen to know?
Well, what they usually do, from what I hear, is they take you into protective custody mm-hmm. and bring you down to the mental institution for the evaluation.
I see.
That sort of thing. From what I understand, I don't know at that point about here in New Hampshire, but what you got to do is figure out what you would say to them before anyone else arrives at the scene, to tell them what other options. I mean, hey, if you want, I can give you a ride on down to the library and we can look up some people that can help you deal with the bureaucrats and that sort of thing. But and I kept reminding her that her daughter is going to miss. She says that the world is better off without her, and I'm saying, no, your daughter needs you. And
kudos to you, Tom, for doing that. And I think you did the right thing in that instance, and I appreciate the call tonight. Have you been involved in a situation like that before? Whether it was someone you knew or a total stranger, if you want to tell your story, you can join us here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733, or maybe you were the attempted suicide and you're still with us. What happened?
Bitcoin.com is of the opinion that the current Bitcoin Core development team is not taking satisfactory steps to ensure the growth and advancement of Bitcoin in accordance with Satoshi's vision. As community efforts to resolve these problems have failed, it is necessary to resolve them with a different approach. By using subreddit r/BTC instead of r/Bitcoin and running Bitcoin Unlimited, you are casting a vote against the current development team. Learn more at Bitcoin.com. That's Bitcoin.com.
Yeah, it's Free Talk Live. You can dial toll free and join us here. We were talking about the Trump travel ban and the Ninth Circuit Court having a public spat over the recent edition of the travel ban. And then Tom called in about suicide. So, you can call in about anything that you want. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. One of the interesting things we learned recently on the show, and I don't think either of you were on the night that we talked about it, was that we did a one of the stories that we did recently was about the placebo effect and some like 10 really interesting things about it. And turns out that the placebo effect can be used as an antidepressant. So all the antidepressant medication out there that is being prescribed to people is causing a lot of side effects. You can actually give somebody a placebo, tell them that it's an antidepressant, and it'll have the same effect as the actual antidepressant without any of the side effects. So if you know somebody who's feeling suicidal, maybe they need to get on a nice placebo pill. The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE.
I read that placebos are actually getting more effective.
That's true as well. That was one of the...
They're getting more effective.
Interesting. How much do they charge for the prescription?
It's more effective if they charge more. Yeah. If you have to pay more, it's more effective.
That's right.
So this is one of the problems with low copays.
You need to believe in the treatment. They say the most effective or the most important part of the placebo effect is the doctor's bedside manner. So the doctor's ability to convincingly pitch the placebo as an actual medication is one of the most important factors in how effective that it'll be. And we also learned that the color of the pill can affect its effectiveness as well. So, and also depends on kind of the culture and like color preferences also depend on culture and location. But generally, there was certain colors that were more effective for certain things as well. So it's just fascinating stuff. So whether you want to talk about suicide or the Ninth Circuit Court, if maybe the Ninth Circuit Court is driving you to suicide, anything goes here. Toll-free number, 855-450-FREE. Also, do want to let you know about Jax. It is the official wallet of Free Talk Live. It's available to you for free. You can go and download it at jax.io, JAXX.io, or get it at the Google or Apple App Store. It's also cross-platform beyond your phone. You can also get it for Windows, for Mac, for Linux, as well as browser plugins for Firefox and Chrome. So it allows you to access Bitcoin, Ether, Dash. I don't know if they've brought Dash back to the Apple platform, but I've heard they're going to. So maybe if somebody out there has an iOS device, they can inform us about that. But there's multiple cryptocurrencies within this wallet. There's also Shapeshift integration, which allows you to easily change between currencies. So if you have some Bitcoin, you want to turn that into Ether, maybe you're excited about the Dash price that's been shooting up over the last several days, then you can change your currencies from one to another right there in Jax. JAXX.io. It's the official wallet of Free Talk Live, and it's easy to back up the wallet. So if you lose your phone, not a problem. As long as you still have your backup phrase, you're good to go, which means you can easily recover your funds. And Jax is striving to give you command over your digital life, coins, contracts, currencies, identity, and more. It's your digital command center in the palm of your hand. Jax.io. JAXX.io. So Politico reporting on a fight between Republican judges on the Ninth Circuit Court and two liberal judges who are accusing their conservative colleagues of trying to make an end run around the traditional judicial process. Alex Kaczynski, one of the judges on the panel, blasted the earlier anti-travel ban ruling that the court had made previously for essentially ignoring what he claims is the fact that those affected by Trump's travel ban have no constitutional rights, which I disagree with firmly because everybody has rights. Kaczynski's opinion, he said apparently in his opinion, quote, "This St. Bernard is being wagged by a flea on its tail," unquote. He was joined by several other judges in his opinion, which harshly criticized the earlier Ninth Circuit decision for blessing the idea that courts could take account of Trump's campaign trail statements vowing to implement a Muslim ban.
I don't see how they can't. So it's true that presidents can decide to some extent who can come and who can't. It's also true that you can't discriminate based on religion. And I mean, what's he doing? Any court worth its salt is going to look at motive, past statements. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Ian, if every day for a year I say I'm going to chop your head off and then one day people find you in the studio with no effing head, who's the first person they should look to?
Yeah, seems right. Obvious.
Right. The person who says every day, the person who has previously called you a BAMF and said that they were going to chop your head off. There you go.
Oh, BAMF. I thought it was. I thought you were saying badass.
BAMF.
Gotcha.
BAMF.
You meant the other
it's
one.
It's an abbreviation for something horrible that happened on air at one point.
Right. So my colleagues err by failing to vacate this hasty opinion. The panel's unnecessary statements on this subject will shape litigation near and far. We'll quest aimlessly for true intentions across a sea of insults and hyperbole. It will be, as it were, a huge total disaster, Kaczynski said in an apparent tip of the hat to Trump's bombast. That didn't sit well with Judge Stephen Reinhart, who accused his colleagues of trying to affect the ongoing litigation over Trump's redrafted executive order. He wrote, quote, Judge Kaczynski's diatribe, filed today, confirms that a small group of judges, having failed in their effort to undo this court's decision with respect to the first executive order, now seek on their own, under the guise of a dissent from the denial of en banc rehearing. En banc is the full court, if I'm recalling the terminology correctly, rehearing of an order of voluntary dismissal to decide the constitutionality of a second executive order that is not before this court. That is hardly the way judiciary functions, peculiar indeed, said the appointee of President Jimmy Carter. Another liberal Ninth Circuit judge, Marsha Berzon, weighed in Friday with a more restrained rejection of her colleagues' efforts to undermine the earlier ruling. She wrote, quote, judges are empowered to decide issues properly before them, not to express their personal views on legal questions that no one has asked them.
Yeah.
There is no appeal currently before us, and so no stay motion pending that appeal currently before us either, she wrote, who is an appointee of President Bill Clinton. She further said that all the merits commentary in the dissents filed by a small minority of the judges of this court is entirely out of place. So she's basically saying this guy needs to shut up. He's out of place. It's not a case in front of him. He shouldn't be commenting.
I mean, that's kind of how law works. That's how this is supposed to go. It's not that I don't think that the judiciary should.
He can't have an opinion.
Yeah. I mean, and certainly they're being reporting on it.
Berzon added, quote, my dissenting colleagues should not be engaging in a one-sided attack on a decision by a duly constituted panel of this court. We will have this discussion or one like it, but not now, unquote. Kaczynski responded by accusing his liberal colleague of trying to silence the court's public debate on the issue.
I don't think there should be a public debate in courts. That is unseemly, even
it's
by
different.
My standards.
Yeah, it's different.
And I'm that's not the way the judiciary has worked for hundreds of years, and I find it unseemly. Maybe I'm wrong on this. I would have to hear arguments to the contrary, but I think that this should be done behind doors, and obviously this guy can't get his way behind doors, so he's going elsewhere.
Kaczynski, well, now the funny thing is he's in the majority on the court, right? So there's five Republican appointees, according to this. It's just that the full court didn't hear the original the original case.
I don't think that it shouldn't come down along party lines anyway. It shouldn't.
No, it shouldn't.
I think the ruling was a legit one. And it, as far as I'm concerned, it seems legit. Now, are they going to change the way that, the Trump administration has changed it? There's a new ban and there'll be new rulings on that. And, you know, whatever. I'm interested in seeing how they go. But it does seem strange, the idea of just shutting down immigration from certain countries. But you can do it in wartime. You can believe that their immigration from Japan was tightly controlled during World War II. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not without merit.
There's a little bit more here. The conservative judge shoots back in a moment. We'll share that. You can share your thoughts. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And then a former judge, Judge Napolitano, weighed in about, was it the travel ban that got him banned?
No, it was the wiretapping.
He got in hot water over that. We'll tell you about it coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, dial toll free, bring up whatever you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE, that's 855-450-3733. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Vincent.
And Mark.
Of course, you can bring up anything you want. If you support Free Talk Live, one of the ways to do that directly is by shopping with us. You go to shop.freetalklive.com, enter Amazon through the links you'll find there. There's Amazon US, Amazon Canada, Amazon UK. You click into the right Amazon for you. Get your shopping taken care of. Free Talk Live gets a portion of the purchase price when you do your shopping that way. So it makes a big difference for us, and you get the same great prices you're used to. So you don't have to lose anything except for the extra moment it takes to go to shop.freetalklive.com. And even then, you can save yourself some time. If you go to shop.freetalklive.com, click the Amazon that's right for you, just bookmark the landing page, and then just go back to the bookmark from that point in the future, and you'll be good to go, and it'll help us out. Once again, that's shop.freetalklive.com. We're talking about a public spat between some of the judges on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals over the Trump travel ban. The first one, they're arguing about that sort of after the fact and arguing over this new travel ban that has been put into place. And I believe just went into effect very recently. It had like a 10-day delay on it after Trump ordered it. Instead of the first one, which went into effect right away.
Right. This one, people at airports and stuff.
Yeah, this one took several days. And so some of the judges are weighing in publicly, which is an unusual thing to see happen. And so it's kind of breaking down by the political beliefs of the different appointees, judges appointed by Presidents Clinton and Jimmy Carter, having a spat with one that was appointed by Ronald Reagan, Judge Alex Kaczynski. And Kaczynski responds by accusing his liberal colleagues of trying to silence the court's public debate on the issue, which is basically what the one of the other judges was saying was, hey, we're not hearing this case, so you're out of line by, you know, making all this hubbub about it. He says, quote, my colleagues' effort to muzzle criticism of an egregiously wrong panel opinion betrays their insecurity about the opinion's legal analysis, wrote Kaczynski. In the wake of the Ninth Circuit ruling.
Isn't that the last name of the Unabomber?
Ted Kaczynski.
Kaczynski. Okay. This one's K-O-Z. Okay. So very similar, though.
Okay.
In the wake of the Ninth Circuit ruling, Trump signed a redrafted, scaled-down version of his first order. The second order bans issuance of visas to citizens of six majority Muslim countries for 90 days and shuts down refugee admissions from across the globe for 120 days.
So what he says, the reason for doing this, and I've already given my opinion on what I think of as far as this judge goes. I think it's bad form to air this out in public, but that's his only recourse, so I'm interested to see seeing how that system works. Mm-hmm. I don't imagine it's going to be taken well by his colleagues generally. But Trump says that he wants to put a ban on things until we get a handle on it, so we get some kind of control. Mm. And when is this control going to occur? It's not like the
apparently 120 days.
Well, yeah, and that's not going to happen. The idea of refugees isn't new. Mm-hmm. The idea of refugees from Muslim countries is not new. The idea of Muslims coming to the country is not new. None of this stuff is new. There's no getting a handle on it. Government's inefficient and it sucks at everything it does. Having it control this isn't going to work any better than it's ever worked before. Donald Trump isn't going to walk in and comb over all the problems that the government has had up to this point. It's not how
it
works.
Then why is he doing it? You know, is it just some sort of, is he still in campaign mode here trying to make himself look like he's doing something?
I can't guess what he's doing, but I can tell you that our electoral system rewards those that campaign best, not those that will lead best. So the best people who are the people most qualified for the job of president are not the people who are necessarily going to be the president.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump is only the president because Hillary Clinton essentially attempted to steal the nomination from Sanders. Now, I'm not saying that
she's
she would have won.
Hillary Clinton as well.
Well, yeah. I mean, but
even if she hadn't tried to steal the nomination, she would have.
It was very, yeah. very close, Ian. And some people chose not to vote for Hillary Clinton.
That's true.
Based on the fact that she was a cheater.
Right.
And it looks like
she can't help herself.
It looks like Trump may have done some cheating too, with colluding with the Russians. But we'll see on that. His cheating didn't come to light at the time. But nonetheless, it just goes to show that it's the best campaigners that win, and not the best leaders that win.
There's a summary here of what's happened recently. Key parts of Trump's revised travel ban executive order were blocked earlier this week by judges in Maryland and Hawaii. On Friday, the Justice Department appealed the Maryland judge's order to the Richmond, Virginia Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals. No appeal has yet been filed to the Hawaii order, which would be appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court. And then there's a different story about this same judge, Alex Kaczynski of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, over at Slate.com, which is a lefty-leaning blog. That last story we had was from Politico.com, and I'm not sure what
they're... They're not as bad as Salon.
What, Slate isn't as bad as Salon?
I don't think they're as bad as Salon.
Late Friday afternoon, when few were paying attention, one of the smartest judges on the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals went out of his way to throw Donald Trump a lifeline in a surprising and late dissent to the 9th Circuit ruling on Trump's travel ban. Kaczynski argued that it would violate the First Amendment to take Trump's campaign statements evincing anti-Muslim animus seriously or literally. That claim may help save the administration.
That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. If you, I mean, in a murder trial, if you, you know, I don't know, haphazardly said that you're likely to kill somebody today or even name them, that's going to be
evidence.
Yeah. This is a court. They take evidence. That is patently ridiculous. Smartest guy on the court. Who said he was the smartest guy?
The author of this.
What reporter does this?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that journalism?
This is Richard L. Hassan.
Is it listed as a blog post or opinion piece, or what's the article listed as?
It doesn't say.
It's jurisprudence.
This is the state of journalism today, is that everything is an opinion piece to some extent or another.
Yeah, you got to realize that going into it.
I know, but... I mean, you know, there's some articles that do a significantly better job of hiding
it. Staying
neutral. Hiding their lack of neutrality.
There's a way to, in a way, without it being a spreadsheet or an encyclopedia article, just showing the facts. Mm-hmm. And then if you think, you know, you could choose which facts to leave out, choose which pictures you take to leave out. And it's difficult, right? It's difficult not to put it into a slant.
It's not to let your bias in.
Yeah, but not everything is neutral in life.
It can't be.
Not
you're taking your journalism class right now, right?
Yes, he's in college.
And what was the quote you shared during the break?
It wasn't verbatim, but there's a sentiment that students have that, here, we're going to change the world by adding this fact, right? By choosing which fact. That's a sentiment some people have.
And I'm...
Your teachers, you mean?
No. Students. A lot of students there. I remember someone asked a professor, she said, in interviewing someone, if we don't like what they're saying, if they have an offensive opinion, are we allowed to criticize them during the interview? And even the professor... It's like, no, where'd you get that? No, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's not talk radio. It's an interview, right? For news article.
Exactly, yeah.
I was listening to NPR. They were talking about the value of their journalism while they're doing their fundraising. I guess it's fundraising week or month or year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I heard some of that this morning, actually.
Apparently, they've had their funding threatened, and now they're using that as a cudgel. It's great. They're probably going to get more fundraising done more quickly because
Trump's going to pull our funding. We need more.
Right. So, I mean, it's good for them in that fashion. I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen with Trump's budget proposal. But nonetheless, they were talking about the integrity of their journalism. And not to say I disagree with that statement. I think NPR is a great product. But I was thinking, you know, to me, journalists don't even address the issues. They never, even when doing a story on monopolies, for instance, they will never point out that the government itself is a monopoly. So it's a monopoly enforcing monopoly laws, which is funny. And you'd think one journalist somewhere would mention this, but they don't, because they don't know. They probably don't know. I'm happy to inform any of them come around, but they don't. You know, they don't. They got a different axe to grind.
The best you're going to get is a journalist who's willing to publish your opinion that the government is a monopoly.
Yeah.
So every now and then
it's not an opinion. I mean, the government is a monopoly, or at least a cartelized hierarchy.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I'm just, you know, I'm telling you that a good journalist is not going to put their opinion in the story if they can avoid it.
It's not an opinion.
Yeah, it's an objective fact.
It's an objective fact. The government is a monopoly that claims a use of force in a given geographic area. It's the GD definition of what a government is. I don't care if they see it. If they can't see it, they're fools.
they, you know, it doesn't appear like a monopoly.
Barack
today.
Obama is quoted from 2007 yes. saying that the nation state, what separates the nation state from other things, is a monopoly on
violence.
Force
yeah,
or violence right. or whatever he says.
That's what he said. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Yes, Mark, but it's their monopoly. They voted for it. They're part of it, so it doesn't feel like the same thing. Why did you move to the Shire?
I moved here to the Shire because there's other people around who take liberty just as seriously as I do.
I moved to the Shire because I saw videos of people challenging authority and thought that I could get support myself. It called to me, like, do this right now.
I wanted to be around people like me who got it. And once I got here, I knew there was nowhere else that I wanted to be.
I've always wanted to change the world. So I moved to the Shire to join people who were actually working towards doing the same thing.
The people here are awesome, loving, and positive. It was for the adventure and for the feeling of something important is happening here. And I just wanted to come to sort of be part of that.
Visit ShireSociety.com to read and sign the Shire Society Declaration and learn the reasons why, if you love liberty, you should immigrate to the Shire. Plus, add yourself to the Shire map at ShireSociety.com. That's ShireSociety.com.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. Dial on in toll free here. Bring up whatever is on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We're talking about an unusually noisy judge on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. His name is Alex Kaczynski. The first hour of the show, by the way, with you in the studio, it's Ian.
Vincent.
And Mark.
Kaczynski and a couple of the other judges. Kaczynski's apparently a Republican appointee, and a couple of the others are Democrat appointees on the Ninth Circuit. And they were having a public spat over the Trump travel ban, the original one. Talking about the new one as well, and basically the position of the lefties was, hey, dude, you're not supposed to be talking about this publicly. We're not hearing the case, so it's you're kind of out of line with your comments. And he was basically like, oh, it's free speech, blah, blah, blah. And it is. You know, he can say whatever he wants.
Sure.
It's just unusual for a judge to make such statements that are not in the form of an official order coming from the court.
And in this case, it may be a good idea because Trump tends to reward his most
loudmouths,
vivacious supporters.
So yeah, he might be angling for a promotion.
Yeah, he
saying.
Could very well be the next Supreme Court nominee.
Is there another opening there?
No, but I have heard this. Look, with Trump, you never know what you're going to get.
Because
right?
The one guy's supposed to be getting confirmed is going.
Yeah, the process. I felt the process already started. Right,
it started.
A hearing. Yeah, they had a hearing.
They're in the middle of it, right?
Yeah. Right. But don't forget what FDR did, and it's not unconstitutional. He stacked the court. He got rulings he didn't like, so he came back in and he added judges.
You can add judges?
As long as it's an odd number, everything's supposed to be fine. And it doesn't actually even have to be an odd number. So Trump could put 13 judges in if they wanted to.
Really?
I think this should be a constitutional change because I believe that's a power that is too great for the presidency. But, good old FDR who saved America.
Set a precedent, huh?
He did one of the most evil things a president has done.
So how many are on the Supreme Court right now?
Nine.
Well,
not there will be nine once Gorsuch is – if Gorsuch is approved.
Wow.
There's eight.
So he could just throw another four on there and then you're up to 13 or
yeah,
two or
sure.
six.
Sure. Do
whatever.
Whatever he wants.
But aside from that, they say Ginsburg, she's I think the oldest right now. She might kick the bucket.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential. One of the things about the Trump presidency that kind of had me concerned was that usually presidents run for 8 years unless something really weird happens. So in that period of time, it's likely that four more judges are going to step down in that time frame. I mean, you can expect some conservative leaning ones to step out and in hopes that other conservatives will be put in. As you said, Ginsburg, I think, is in her 80s.
Yeah. Just because that would be a strategic move from those judges rather than – so what you're saying is if they step down and say, all right, I'm retiring, I'm old enough, I've had it.
They're not fools.
Right. Then that would mean that Trump would be the one who would make the appointment to replace them instead of rolling the dice and saying, all right, well, I'm going to keep going as long as possible. Maybe the next president would end up being a Democrat. Then they die during the Democrat administration. So it's more strategic to go ahead and step down at a time like this.
That's the pattern up to this point. It went, you know, essentially Carter to Reagan, and then the Bush was basically a third Reagan because it was a term because
Bush
he was
senior,
so popular, and then Bush to Clinton, and then Clinton to Bush. So it's Democrat Republican, Democrat Republican, back and forth. Unless Trump is a wildly successful president, and he's not starting off that way, then, you know, it's likely that it'll be a Democrat the next go around.
So Slate.com reporting on Alex Kaczynski, the judge who was having the spat we were talking about in the last hour, saying that he argued, Kaczynski did, that it would violate the First Amendment to take Donald Trump's campaign statements evincing anti-Muslim animus seriously. That claim may help save the administration's new executive order banning travel from six predominantly Muslim countries. It's an argument that just might attract the court's conservatives, including the soon-to-be-confirmed Neil Gorsuch, and
that's what I'm calling it,
and lead them to reject constitutional challenges to the new executive order. And that would be a shame, not just for this case, says Slate.com, but also for all cases raising claims of government bias. The history here is a bit tortured, but it's important to recount because it shows how unusual Kaczynski's actions were in reaching out to offer his opinion on the constitutionality of the second travel executive order. In January, Trump introduced the first executive order banning travel from seven predominantly Muslim countries. Washington State, Minnesota, and others brought challenges.
Those are pretty much Muslim countries, yeah.
Arguing that the ban violated the due process rights of certain people who wished to enter the country, and that it violated the First Amendment's Establishment Clause, as it was based on anti-Muslim bias. Trump lost to Washington State in a federal district court, which issued an order putting the first executive order on hold. A three-judge panel in the Ninth Circuit Court refused to stay the trial court's order. The appeals court agreed unanimously that Trump was likely to lose on the due process argument, and it declined to decide the Establishment Clause claim. The entire Ninth Circuit was in the process of considering whether or not to hear the case when the Trump administration withdrew its appeal in conjunction with withdrawing the first executive order and issuing the second one. I didn't know that part about this. Because we'd reported on the story just generally when it was going down.
Tell the judges see in court.
A Ninth Circuit court had requested that the entire circuit nonetheless vote on whether to vacate the three-judge panel's earlier decision, finding a due process violation. Vacating the opinion would erase it as precedent for the other courts to rely on. On Wednesday, the entire Ninth Circuit voted not to vacate the earlier decision. Judge Jay Bybee and four other conservative judges, including Kaczynski, dissented. Bybee's main point was that the trial court likely got the due process claim wrong. The order said that more opinions from Ninth Circuit judges might follow. Also on Wednesday, a federal district court in Hawaii issued an order holding that the second travel ban could not be enforced because it violated the Establishment Clause. The trial judge recognized that in figuring out whether the government had engaged in religious animus, it could not engage in psychoanalysis of government officials. But the court said that the government need not fear the difficulty of uncovering motive because Trump had made plenty of anti-Muslim statements on the campaign trail and elsewhere. The court wrote, quote, "For instance, there is nothing veiled about this press release." Quote, "Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States." Unquote. A federal court in Maryland soon issued a similar order, citing similar statements. So had Donald Trump kept his mouth shut about this, well, it would have been a different story.
He couldn't run on it if he didn't.
If he didn't.
That's
right.
One of the things, that's the difficulties here is, you know, there's rules about not discriminating based on all kinds of things, including religion. And, well, that's a discrimination based on religion. And there's a lot of people that support that discrimination on religion. And I can understand to some extent people's reticence to allow people to come from Muslim countries. I get it.
It's fear. It's based on fear.
Well, yeah. Like, fear is the reason for a lot of things. Yeah. And, yeah, one of the reasons I might carry a weapon when I go out, outside is fear, right? It's not, yeah. Fear is a good, it's a fine motivator. I don't have a particular problem with it as a motivator, but this is one of the difficulties when it comes to government. Everybody likes the idea of not being discriminated upon based on their religion. It's just they want to discriminate against other people based on their religion, and it's It's complicated.
2 days after all this activity, as everyone focused on new cases out of Hawaii and Maryland, Judge Kaczynski added a new dissent to the earlier Ninth Circuit order addressed primarily to the Establishment Clause, the issue that the Ninth Circuit's first opinion had declined to address. Now, this was highly unusual, and two other judges, as we discussed in the first hour, wrote that it was inappropriate for Kaczynski to do so because the matter wasn't before the court. In response, Kaczynski wrote that his colleague's effort to muzzle criticism of an egregiously wrong panel opinion betrays their insecurity about their opinion's legal analysis. He said the Hawaii court relied on the first Ninth Circuit order, and that made it fair game for him to weigh in. In kind of a pre-buttal to any eventual appeal of the Hawaii decision, Kaczynski argued that it was inappropriate for courts deciding Establishment Clause claims to look at the campaign statements of those who had become elected officials and enforce the laws. He claimed reliance on such statements, as Trump's, to prove discrimination was folly because they are unreliable. He wrote, quote, candidates may say things on the campaign trail. They are often contradictory or inflammatory. No shortage of dark purpose can be found by sifting through the daily promises of a drowning candidate when in truth the poor schlub's only intention is to get elected.
Well, I agree with that much.
Kaczynski, however, went further. We'll tell you more about that in moments. More about this loudmouth judge out on the Ninth Circuit Court. And your calls and thoughts are also welcome. Plus, coming up, what's going on with Judge Napolitano? Why is he in hot water? Vincent's got that story, and you can take control. Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free. Join us on the radio here. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And we've got Skype at Skype username lrn.fm.
Yeah, I wanted to tell people about hope.freetalklive.com. What I've done is I've met a guy on Facebook, and he is building an orphanage in Jinja, Uganda. Now, I don't exactly know where Jinja is, and frankly, I had to look on a map to find Uganda, too. Mm-hmm. But
it's in Africa.
That much I know. Sub-Saharan Africa, I knew that much, too. And I've spent a long time talking to this guy because I wanted to know that what he was saying was true, the veracity. And I've looked at...
You got
to
be careful.
Sure. I've looked at, I would say, certainly hundreds of photos and dozens of videos of this guy and, you know, his project and building this orphanage. He's a young man who was an orphan himself. AIDS and war and all that stuff has torn apart many families in that area. And he has a real heart for helping orphans, and they're currently staying in a rented place that's about the size of a large walk-in closet, and he's got 40 orphans.
Wow.
It really is packed in there. At first, they were having trouble. You know, now they've got funding for school and those sorts of things, but he's trying to build a place for them so that he can take care of orphans in this particular area. And, I mean, he doesn't get, you know, the big treat for these guys is a meal. I mean, they don't get much. They're not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. They've started on the foundation. They've put in, they've done the work in building the clay bricks and that sort of thing. And now they need some things that you just can't replicate with kind of native environment. He needs concrete. He needs rebar. And he's trying to do some fundraising for that. And basically, even though things are cheaper in Uganda and labor isn't that expensive and that kind of thing, but, you know, it's still going to cost about $2,500 for these items to be able to put this foundation in. And I've donated. I believe strongly that this is a completely... you know, I've done all kinds of third-party checking and every, you know, if you have any questions, go to hope.freetalklive.com and ask your questions.
And, like what, in the comments or?
Yeah, in the comments, okay. Right there. Okay. And, you know, I've linked to his page. You can ask him questions.
Looks like you have to have a Facebook.
You do have to have Facebook, but you don't have to have Facebook to read this.
That's true. I see that.
You'd have to have Facebook to comment.
Okay.
And the vast majority of people listening have Facebook.
Okay.
And the vast majority of people want to help orphans, especially ones that you could help relatively inexpensively. We're not talking about orphans in a you know, expensive country or anything. They had very little money to take care of these folks. And
it looks like you're accepting PayPal contributions directly for
I have been doing that and will continue to do that. If you want to send cash and you don't want to do the money order or the MoneyGram or Western Union thing to him, I understand. So I've been you know, taking PayPal and then sending Bitcoin. And he can accept Bitcoin.
How did he find you?
I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember the story about how I found him originally, but best I can tell, the guy's legit and it doesn't particularly matter, right?
Yeah.
So these are desperate people in desperate circumstances. Mm-hmm. A little bit of money will go a long way. It's hope.freetalklive.com. Go and check it out.
All right. Let's go to David in New Orleans. We can talk more about the judge who's making a stir on the Ninth Circuit Court. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead with your thoughts.
Well, thank you for having me, as usual.
Sure.
Now, everybody keeps talking about this this travel ban. Now, what I'm about to say, it may not win me any favors, and quite frankly, nobody's hardly talking about it. But whether you guys agree with me or not, I just got to ask, what do you think about the possible link? Now, first of all, Fox News ran a story after 9/11 about all these Israeli art students and about how they uncovered one of the biggest Israeli spying operations, and they got companies such as Amdocs and Comverse who have a lot of access to our communications and such. Do you guys remember that story that Fox News ran back in October? Oh, you don't?
October of 2001?
Yes, sir.
No, I don't remember almost anything from that far, that long ago. No. So it was the suggestion that the Israelis were spying on the American people or the American government?
A little bit of both. There was a lot of Israeli art students that got arrested after 9/11, and they were Urban Moving Company, I believe the name of it. They were using moving vans and such, and a lot of them got arrested, only to be released later. And hell, there was even some the Israelis on a talk show and Israel, and they actually admitted, like, we were just there to document the event. You know, we live in a country that has terrorist attacks almost daily. They were just there to document the event. So something tells me that they knew what was going on.
You're saying that
beforehand.
That suggests that they knew that 9/11 was going to occur?
That's right. That's what a lot of people were suggesting. Now, I'm only saying this because I'm actually heading to Washington D.C. from New Orleans tomorrow to take part in an event on March on APEC. So, like I said, it's just a little vacation. Well, I've never been to Washington D.C.
You get a march on APEC for a vacation?
What's APEC?
APEC is the American. I can't remember what it is. It's basically a Jewish organization.
It's okay. Israeli.
Israeli.
It's one
organization.
Of the. It's one of. I think it's one of the biggest lobbying groups in D.C. aside from the NRA.
Hmm. All right.
That's right. Yeah, but anyway, it's just that everybody's talking about all this travel ban, and I'm seeing a lot of. I've been hearing a lot of rumors and conjecture lately that Israel's been involved in 9/11, so it's just kind of funny how they...
Well, what's that have to do with the travel ban? I mean, I don't understand the link there. Not that I mean, you can bring up anything you want, I just don't understand the link.
Well, they're talking about, banning certain people, certain people's movements, in certain countries, but nobody ever talks about how big of an influence Israel has in this country.
I think they talk about it all the time. I mean, Israel is a huge influence, and APEC is a giant lobbying organization.
Aren't all the politicians always talking about Israel when they're running for election or whatever?
Well, it's nothing, never anything bad, or most
right.
of the time.
Unless
it's
Keith Israel.
Unless it's Keith Ellison. I don't know if you followed the Democratic, who's going to be the new chairman of the Democratic Party. And
no.
He didn't have some nice things to say about Israel in the past before, and that was a big issue.
Yeah, it's a big issue. I mean, they are they're incredibly influential in American politics.
Exactly. Now, I just got to ask. I mean, why does it seems like every American politician they have to take a pledge to Israel? They won't get their campaign funded. That's just ask Cynthia McKinley Cynthia McKinney if anybody wants to know that.
It does seem that they are all very, very deferential towards that particular country.
I think it could be the evangelical base. There's a lot of evangelicals who hold Israel very close to our hearts because they've been taught.
Jesus is coming back.
Yeah, God's chosen people, that it's a special area. Some people even want a war in Israel because that'll trigger some end time prophecy.
Yep.
There you go. Thanks, David. for the call tonight. Appreciate it. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I mean, I don't think the U.S. government should be funding any government around the world. I don't care who they are.
Yeah, I don't care what their religion is. It doesn't matter to me.
Right. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733. We got time for you if you want to join us here and take control of the airwaves on Free Talk Live.
The three most important things you can do for Free Talk Live are, one, share one episode a week on Facebook or in some other social networking site. Two, buy the things you buy online through shop.freetalklive.com. Three, give $5 a month to the AMP program. It's my firm belief that Free Talk Live's AMP program is the best use of your charitable dollar among liberty-oriented organizations. Support all the organizations you love. But make sure you give $5 a month to AMP at amp.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Dial on in here toll free. Join us. We can talk more about judges. One of them's been making headlines for speaking out about the Trump travel ban. Some are saying he shouldn't be speaking out. Also, Judge Napolitano, who we've talked to once upon a time in the past, he has been kicked off of Fox News. And, Vincent, you've got that story. We'll get to that coming up here in moments. Your calls and thoughts, of course, are also welcome about whatever's on your mind. It's Ian, Vincent, and Mark in the studio with you tonight. And I also want to let you know about MyPillow. Yes, I was enjoying it just moments before the show started here.
It wasn't moments. It was like an hour.
No, I literally woke up 10, 20 minutes or 15 minutes before the show started.
Seemed like longer than that. We had a long conversation.
No, I'm sorry. Something's wrong with your experience of time tonight, Mark. But I did have a nice nearly an hour nap, and it was easy to fall asleep on because MyPillow is designed to fit to the shape of your body and hold your neck in the proper position. It's a great pillow. If it wasn't, I would have stopped using it right away because I've got other pillows. I could have used something else if I didn't like my pillow, and I do like my pillow, and I've continued to use it every single night except for when I was in Mexico. I didn't bring it to Mexico, and I was upset.
I didn't either. Fortunately, we had some pretty good pillows in Mexico.
Nah, those are about standard hotel pillows.
At least they weren't crappy hotel pillows.
They also weren't great. I just don't ever really like the hotel pillows.
My pillow is the best pillow.
Yeah,
Nothing compares to it.
Nothing compares to the my pillow. That I've ever used. And if you don't agree, that's okay. You can send it back. They've got a 60-day money-back window of time where if you decide you don't like it for some reason, you ship it back to the folks over at MyPillow, and they'll give you your purchase price back. But they are so, they believe so much in their product that they're backing it like that. And they also back it with a 10-year warranty. So they really do stand behind their product. You can get yours at half off by using code FTL. That's code FTL, like Free Talk Live, at MyPillow.com. Get one at half off or get two for the price of one. It's up to you how many you order. And again, it's a 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee, MyPillow.com with code FTL. As we go to your calls and thoughts, we got Parker. He's on the line via Skype in Washington State. Hello, Parker.
Hey.
Hey, what's on your mind?
Not a whole lot. So I sort of have this idea, a working idea for the blueprint for the next sort of Ron Paul.
You've always got some sort of blueprint.
You are always working on something.
All right.
Our job to tear it apart. So go ahead.
cooked up tonight?
We know for a fact that the Constitution has no inherent authority, as Lysander Spooner put it quite eloquently. And
it's essentially a dead document. The people who signed it are all, gone at this point. There are some people who've sworn an oath to it, but we can see how seriously they take that.
Right.
Right.
So the Constitution's only as good as its enforcement mechanism, and its enforcement mechanism has brought the government that we have today. So either the Constitution has authorized the government that we have today, or it has been powerless to prevent it.
Which is a paraphrase of Lysander Spooner.
Indeed it is.
Yeah, that's in the appendix and the conclusion of his is that a pamphlet or an article?
I don't know.
I think it's a letter to Grover Cleveland, isn't it?
Wasn't that No Treason?
No, that's a totally different work that he wrote about 10 or 15 years after he wrote No Treason. But essentially what I'm thinking is if a candidate were running for, say, president, and they said, all right, everything that isn't explicitly written or is not explicitly enumerated by the Constitution, we are immediately getting rid of. And then even the stuff that is enumerated by the Constitution, we're going to eliminate about half of that. And then we're going to eliminate about another half of that after that.
Okay.
What would be the end result?
Of a candidate coming out and saying that?
He'd never get elected.
Mm.
I mean, I think that if – so Ron Paul built more popularity from 2008 to 2012. The difficulty was is that he was an old man in 2008, and he certainly wasn't a young man in 2012. He would have been the oldest president had he been elected. Instead, Trump is. But not that that was the same election. So Rand Paul kind of became the standard bearer, I think. But he decided to take a more politically acceptable tack. And
you mean watered down?
Well, fine. Yeah. Whatever. Go ahead.
I would call it watered down. I would say in many ways that Rand Paul sort of betrayed some of his father's principles. He sort of I don't really know exactly how to describe
it. Well, maybe he never had them in the first
place. Well, he was also a senator compared to a rep, right? Ron Paul knew most of the people in his district compared to Rand Paul, and he has to run against all the money being poured in. Mm. He has to run for the entire state. So I don't necessarily it's you can't compare him exactly. I think he had a much more difficult task than his father did.
I think Rand Paul's also been effective. He's gotten a lot more news in a very short period of time compared to Ron Paul. Ron Paul never changed the outcome of a single vote from what we can tell. He never had a piece of legislation that passed. Ron Paul was principled, and that was inspiring, but many of the people who were inspired by it became so principled that they then hold their nose about Rand Paul, right? Like, oh my God, there's no way I'd vote for an 8 when I could have a 10, so I won't vote at all, and okay, all right, whatever. But, Rand Paul's got things
Rand
done.
Rand Paul didn't even give people a chance to vote for him. He dropped out, remember?
Agreed, yeah. Because he didn't have support. Honestly,
he maybe thought he could run on a nepotism, right? On the support from his father had.
Well, he didn't have support because he wasn't principled like his dad. So the people who were excited by his dad were not excited by him.
His votes are far more principled than his speech. And I think that that's one of the things is that he talks in Washington speak much more than his father ever did. His father, he was interviewed by a local talk show host here, and Danny Mitchell, the guy, said, I have never had a politician answer questions the way you do, talking about Ron Paul. Because Ron Paul answers the question that it's given.
Right.
And he will answer any crazy,
people respect that.
Nutty question that any,
That's why people respected Ron Paul, because he was straight up with you. He was honest with you. And you knew, once you listened to enough Ron Paul, you knew what he was going to say.
Agreed.
Because he was, principled and predictable. That's why people love him.
Agreed.
Rand has none of that.
I'm of the opinion that I feel as though someone could, theoretically speaking, do in many ways what Ron Paul did. By if he said we're going to cut things like the IRS and the income tax, we're going to strip away anything that's not in
Ted
the Constitution.
That stuff
Ted
is
Cruz
done.
Said that too. Both those
Did he?
Things, yeah.
And that's said by every libertarian candidate that's come along prior to 2008.
Right, but no one pays any attention to them.
He says somebody could do it, and I say that a 12-term congressman did. But the problem is that once his pedigree's made, he's 80 years old.
You have a good point. But another point that I'd like to draw on
it's because
is that
he's a super genius.
Super genius. Mark Edge. Super genius.
To say, I fully realize that the government is a leviathan and a monstrosity.
Sure.
And my goal is to limit its scope and size and to possibly – in the future, not in the near future, but just in the future in general, to do away with the monstrosity.
Well, I love that, you know, I love you're a dreamer, man.
Yeah, I love it. That's on a national level. I don't think it's ever going to happen. And I'm speaking as the guy who's already on Adam Kokesh's 2020
campaign.
I'm going to be his secretary of the Bureau of Prisons because I understand that it's important to have a libertarian to vote for. I'm just not deluded enough. That's the reason I picked up my life and moved to New Hampshire was
national
because
politics
I didn't think you could do it on the national level.
Thanks. Parker, appreciate the call tonight. It doesn't mean that somebody shouldn't try if that's what they feel
should.
Called to do, you know, and Adam Kokesh feels called to be that that new Ron Paul. So maybe you should get behind his campaign, Parker. 855-450-FREE. Thanks for the call. More coming up. Free Talk Live. Dial toll-free. Join us on the radio waves here. You can take control of the airwaves and do that via the toll-free number, which is 855-450-FREE. Coming up, Judge Napolitano booted off of Fox News, apparently. You know, a lot of libertarians have a real love for Judge Napolitano.
I think he's pretty cool.
We were talking about Ron Paul. He's obviously another favorite, but Napolitano's another widely appreciated liberty person because, well, you know, he can say... You can put the word judge in front of his name, and you can't say that about many libertarians that can put the word judge in front of their name. So,
you know, something weird happened. I understand that it was a slice of time, and you never know exactly what was said before a statement or after a statement. But you remember when he was at Liberty Forum, right?
I mean, I remember that happened. Yes.
And... It's my job generally to go around and get the guests that we're going to have.
Did we interview him there?
We did not.
Okay.
But he was at the table and I, you know, this is back when we were doing live interviews rather than doing things live to tape, which would have been very convenient at a time like that. But, you know, we didn't do that. So anyway, I walk up to the table.
That was a different event though because there were enough people around in the evenings to where we could do live shows at Liberty Forum.
I can't quote him because this has been years, but he said something to the effect of, I am an anarcho-capitalist, as I was walking up. Now, how was that entered into the conversation? Like, there's a whole bunch of things one could say prior to that, and, like, I don't know. But that's what I heard him say as I was walking up to ask him, and then, you know, sort of, he didn't get much to say after that because I briefly interrupted and asked if about the interview and, of course, you know, the scheduling and all that. Oh, yeah, I'd love to. Of course, handshaking and book signing goes on well after 10, and he never gets on the air, which is fine, but, you know, it's my job to ask nonetheless. So I heard Judge Napolitano say not just that he's a libertarian, but that he is the used a terminology that I find to be terrible terminology.
Anarcho-capitalist, terrible. Two terrible words put
stuck together. But basically it means that he's a hardline libertarian and pro-liberty on every issue every time, at least philosophically. That doesn't mean you can't have a practical solution to a given problem today, but that philosophically you believe that taxation is theft, that government is institutionalized violence, that, you know, a variety of things, and that's what that means. And it's, you know, all of them are essentially fact-based. I mean, you really can't argue with the position, the libertarian position.
Yeah.
You can say, oh, well, things wouldn't work the way that I would want them to work. My roads would deteriorate or kids would be running around amok or old people would be dying in the street. You can come up with some sort of practical complaint. And I'd love to hear whatever your complaint is about a libertarian world. What do you think? What's your biggest fear? Well, that one thing that you think that libertarianism would just – I'm a little sketchy. You're a little sketchy on how it would work because, you know, there's some things that I'm sketchy on too.
You could sell children to slavery.
You're right. I mean, I would say that you can't sell people into slavery because you can't, make other people's, you can't control other people's volition. However, one might argue that essentially apprenticeship programs are a form of slavery. They certainly looked a lot like slavery in the past.
I'm thinking more along the lines of someone has, say, a 4-year-old kid, and then they say, okay, I'll give you to this person in exchange for, you know, X, Y, and Z, and if you don't go along with it, I'm not going to feed you, and if you don't get off my property in 0 seconds, I will kill you.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. I would say that a tort is created with children, so you bring a child into the world, you create them as an incompetent. So if you were to get an automobile accident, if you and I were getting an automobile and I created you incompetent by this automobile accident, my fault, and you were in, say, a wheelchair and couldn't walk, I would be responsible for your care, probably in a financial capacity, in the same way that a child is rendered incompetent by simply being born, that you have some responsibility as a parent to make sure that that child becomes a functioning individual, whether it's again or not. It wouldn't be again, but a functioning individual. So I think there's an argument against that and in the libertarian sphere. But yeah, I mean, you know, how children are raised is a fascinating conversation when you're looking at the ideas of liberty. It's, you know, it's very interesting. Now, I'd say regarding children being sold to slavery, currently you can buy a foreign kid for about $10,000. And one could presume that a slave might be worth $10,000. A low-wage worker makes more than $10,000 in a year, so $10,000 for a person sounds pretty cheap. But I have never heard, not one news story ever of somebody saying, hey, let me get one of them Chinese kids, I'm going to raise them as a slave. Just never done it.
Well, now, it's anecdote, but it did happen in some Amish communities. Back when I was in Pennsylvania last year, this one guy would sell his children to get out of debt from a non-Amish person. But, you know, it's just an anecdote story, but, you know, it does.
How in the world would he do that?
So it was in the backwoods of Pennsylvania, and this one non-Amish person gave him a loan for something. Mm-hmm. Everyone in the Amish community said, don't deal with that guy. He's, you know, he's untrustworthy. The guy dealt with him. He had a debt. And in order to pay off his debt, he sold his firstborn daughter.
Oh, my.
And the guy had a bunch of other kids, from what I remember in the article, in the shed. And it was awful.
I'd be interested in, you know, reading that article just for the sake of reading it. But, yeah.
It's anecdotal. So, sure. Obviously not going to, you know, that's just anything, one incident.
Right. And anything can happen in this crazy world in which we live. I wouldn't claim that it wouldn't. But, you know, child slavery mostly seems to not be something that we deal with in modern society.
Oh, it's still out there. I mean, it's mostly in the child sex slavery or whatever. In fact, I was just at the state house today. They're looking to update the statutes about
they worry a great slavery. Okay, so it's this is part of sort of the prudes out there that don't like sex generally, and specifically don't like you know, prostitution. Mm-hmm. They're always talking about underage sex slave prostitutes as though all the prostitutes out there are these folks. But I think that the vast majority of people listening to me would probably take some six-figure number for sex, right?
Per year?
Per one instance.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, most people would be willing to commit a sex act for $500,000.
Most people would, yeah.
And that means that everybody listening to me is in fact a prostitute. Okay? I mean,
you're not until you take the money.
Why?
Or until you take the deal for the money, I guess.
Okay. Well, you're a willing prostitute.
Yes, you'd be willing to be a prostitute. Right.
You know, I mean, that we're not talking about price here. We're talking about willingness.
Right.
And so I'm of the opinion that many prostitutes that are out there working, and you can only get the interviews with ones that are willing to give it. I mean, it's a very dark, you know, gray market kind of thing that goes on. But, yeah, prostitutes, you know, some of them are doing it for the money, folks.
Let's talk to Sarah in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Sarah. Go ahead.
Yes. I wanted to add to the plastic bag conversation from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best way to recycle plastic bag is actually taking them to the grocery store.
Now, wait a minute. Were you actually listening to the show?
Well, I was listening to some of the dumb turtles that swallowed the plastic bags and straw stuck in nostril.
When you were turtles. What were you on hold at the time? Is that how you were listening? Because
I listen while I wait.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, like, sometimes I catch the show when I'm on hold. Yes.
Because it'd be cool to actually have you listen to one of the shows once.
She probably doesn't know how.
Yeah, that's true. She doesn't have internet. Although she's in Albuquerque, so you could listen on Kiva when we're on there on the radio. Do you have a radio?
You know what? I can't catch it. It's like I don't have like the real high sensitive radio. I try to catch it. It comes in so fuzzy.
They have an FM.
Very
you know.
Rarely.
Do you have tinfoil? You can make like a little
It could be helpful.
I just gave up.
Anyway, Sarah, go ahead with your comments about the plastic bags. You were saying you can turn them back in at the grocery store?
But if I, you know, I usually do carry my insulated grocery bag. But like I said, sometimes I forget. You know, I have to buy a bunch of stuff, and I don't have my bag with me. So what I do with is to take it to the grocery store, Walmart, Smart, Smith. And what they do is they flatten it and they press it and then they turn it into plastic. So the thing is, if you dump it into the recycling bin, it tangles up. It gets tangled up with other plastic and paper and the conveyor belt, and it turns into a big mess. It gets stuck. Huh. You know, the we have recycling bins where you throw everything in, paper, plastic.
Yeah, I don't do that crap.
And tin foil. Well, we have that whole bunch of stuff in Albuquerque. We have it every other, like, 30 feet, 50 feet. So we have it, and I have two of them at my complex, but it's a, it's like, the plastic bag goes to the grocery store.
Yeah, she's right.
So that it could be dealt with
their own
way.
It's the best way to deal with it.
Yeah, good advice. Sarah, if you're into the recycling thing, thanks for the call tonight. I watched that Penn & Teller episode, BS, back more than a decade ago, and I haven't recycled since.
Some things have changed since then.
Is that right?
It's old information.
Like what?
Well, I mean, you know, they've got instituted recycling programs that are much more efficient than they used to be.
Huh. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. This is Free Talk Live. Hour 3 coming up.
I've been told no in many different ways.
I give you an order and you're going to obey it.
Well, George, you can go this way.
You can't do that and you have to leave here.
You cannot bring signs into the rally.
Walk with me.
Well, I'm comfortable here, actually.
Bureaucrats have a funny way of telling people no.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain.
Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, launching into the third hour of the program. Of course, you can take control of the airwaves and bring up anything that happens to be on your mind. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We've got Skype, and the Skype username here is lrn.fm. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
It's Vincent.
And Mark.
Coming up, Vincent will be telling us about Judge Andrew Napolitano, and apparently he's in some hot water over at Fox News where they've taken him off the air. I mean, he already lost his show a few years ago, and now I guess he's not allowed to be a talking head on the network. We can talk about that. And there was also this judge of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals who's been making headlines because he's been speaking out about the Ninth Circuit's decision about the Trump travel ban. He's upset because I guess the full court never got to weigh in on the issue, and he and some of the liberal judges on the court have been having a public spat over this. We talked about that in the first hour, and then we got into a portion of the Slate.com story about the same judge, Judge Alex Kaczynski, arguing that the First Amendment is protecting the travel ban somehow. And we're going to continue on that a little bit here. Of course, you can join us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. So Kaczynski argued that it was inappropriate for courts deciding Establishment Clause claims to look at campaign statements of those who had become elected officials, because they were basically saying that, well, Trump had made statements during the campaign that were very explicitly anti-Muslim, and so therefore we, the court, can use those statements as evidence that indeed that was, you know, part of the motivation behind the
travel
ban.
He didn't just make statements that were sort of anti-Muslim that could be interpreted that way. He also said things like, we're going to stop immigration from the certain Muslim, dangerous Muslim countries, and we're going to stop Muslims from coming in the country, things like that. Like, he was even more clear.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder what this judge would say about the this panel that's looking into building some kind of wall or barrier along the southern border that Trump has instituted. Would he say that it's completely unrelated to the campaign promise that he would build a wall that got 10 feet higher every time somebody said something about it? I mean, what kind of fool is this guy?
I'm sorry.
That his argument is just – it's specious. And it seems to me that what he's doing is running for some kind of federal appointment. Yeah. And the only thing above Ninth Circuit's Court of Appeals would be Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And that this president would likely, notice him as a result and maybe reward him because this president does tend to like sort of verbose supporters.
Right.
But I think that his argument is just it's nuts.
He claimed reliance. I'm just going to recount this one quote we gave you last hour. Claimed reliance on such statements to prove discrimination was folly because they're unreliable, saying, quote, candidates may say things on the campaign trail. They're often contradictory or inflammatory. No shortage of dark purpose can be found by sifting through the daily promises of a drowning candidate when in truth the poor schlub's only intention is to get elected.
Border wall.
So basically claiming, oh, he was just saying that. He didn't really mean it.
Yeah, if he said it and then he goes about doing it,
that's evidence that he means it.
Yeah, you can ascribe a motive to it.
Kaczynski went further, suggesting such reliance to prove discriminatory motive runs afoul of the First Amendment rights of candidates to engage in political
speech. On the campaign trail.
Quoting from the 2014 Supreme Court opinion by Chief Justice John Roberts in McCutcheon.
You know what this guy is actually saying is not that sometimes politicians lie on the campaign trail. He is saying, in fact, they're always lying on the campaign trail.
And excusing it.
Well, but do you understand... Like, nothing they say on the campaign trail can be taken as evidence,
is what this
fool is saying.
He, quoted the 2014 Supreme Court opinion by John Roberts in McCutcheon versus FEC that struck down some federal campaign contribution limits. Kaczynski said the reliance on campaign statements will, quote, chill campaign speech, despite the fact that our most basic free speech principles have their fullest and most urgent application precisely to the conduct of campaigns for political office. He further imagined eager research assistants mining the archives of campaign statements, engaged in a kind of evidentiary snark hunt.
It's not like Donald Trump said this one time. A bunch of people in a room going through all kinds of video or anything like that. It's pretty clear what he was saying at the time and what I'm sure if anybody asked some judge whether or not that would be constitutional, they would have advised them that doesn't sound constitutional. Sorry. Now, a judge's opinion is just an opinion. This guy's opinion is just an opinion. If you get 10 lawyers and you ask them a legal question, you're going to get 20 different opinions, and none of them are going to be legally binding, frankly.
This is just the kind of argument, says Slate's author here, that the Supreme Court's conservatives like. Kaczynski, who clerked for Justice Anthony Kennedy decades ago, knows that this argument could resonate with the jurist who wrote the controversial 2010 opinion in Citizens United versus FEC that freed corporate money in candidate elections and extolled the value of free speech. If a case raising these issues gets to the Supreme Court after Judge Neil Gorsuch is confirmed, it will likely resonate with him too. There's every reason to believe he'll be in the same First Amendment camp as Kennedy and the other conservatives. But Kaczynski's argument is a bad one on the merits, and it's likely to have negative consequences. Imagine a candidate for local prosecutor who promises to keep black people off of juries. Should we not be allowed to consider such statements as proof of racial bias in jury selection out of the fear of chilling campaign speech?
Especially if that candidate goes about setting about doing that.
Yeah, that's what they're saying here, yeah.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. Now, I must say, with Citizens United, it seems like the most obvious ruling to me that corporations. Now, I don't believe corporations should exist.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they are an immoral protection against responsibility for your company or whatever you own. But in a world where corporations do exist and are called persons, under the 14th Amendment, then yes, they should have some kind of speech, and that speech would come out in the form of money. Now, I think you're asking me a really strange question when I have to answer it, but yeah, under the current system that we're in, sure, Citizens United is a perfectly reasonable ruling.
Under the crazy system,
right,
yes.
Under a crazy system. If you're asking me, in the world of Smurfs, how should Smurfette deal with Gargamel? Yes, that this is how it should happen. Yes.
It's difficult to the final thoughts here in the story from Richard Hasten, who is, by the way, a professor of law and political science at University of California. It's difficult, he says, to win cases requiring proof of discriminatory intent precisely because politicians are usually circumspect when they have discriminatory views. Trump is the rare candidate who speaks his mind, and he told us why he wanted to keep Muslims out of the United States. Candidates tend to keep their promises. If voters can rely on discriminatory statements in deciding who to vote for, so should those who later challenge the discrimination that flows after the season of campaign promises. Candidates who make these statements are not poor schlubs. They're being held to account for what they say.
Yeah, I think that yes, I have to agree with the author on this one.
Although I don't agree that candidates keep their promises.
Sometimes they do. They attempt to, in many cases.
I mean, they just promise things wildly and never follow through.
Yeah, I think that in many cases they attempt to keep them. They can't always keep them.
Because of the system. That's
because
true.
Of the system. You love to bring up Barack Obama not getting rid of Guantanamo, but I say that he really couldn't do it. Once he got in there, he's like, oh yeah, this doesn't really work.
Harder than he thought it was going to be.
That's the way it is. Oh, look, I don't hold Obama up as some great politician by any stretch of the imagination. Frankly, he was a good speech giver and a placeholder for 7 out of the 8 years that he was there, because once the House went Republican, actually it was the Senate that got that one guy in some Massachusetts election, but once that happened, they couldn't get anything through.
Our toll-free number if you want to join us here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Whether it's the travel ban you want to discuss or whatever's on your mind, you can take control of the airwaves. We'll find out what's going on with Andrew Napolitano, the judge from Fox News, or formerly, apparently. This is Free Talk Live. Talk Live. Dial toll-free. Bring up what you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I saw the headlines about Judge Napolitano being booted off of Fox News, but I didn't read the story. Thankfully, Vincent did, so we're going to talk about that coming up here. We'll see what is going on. And by the way, with you tonight, it is Ian.
Vincent.
And Mark.
We're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts coming up here. Plus, I do want to let you know how you can save big time on your web hosting. 50% off is what you get by going to hostgator.com/FTL. That's /FTL, like Free Talk Live. 50% off of their hosting. They're one of the top hosting companies out there, and they also make it easy to get your web hosting done. Maybe you've never started a website or blog before. Well, they've got a simple one-click, easy installation for WordPress, 24/7 over the phone or live chat, tech support, and a very intuitive and user-friendly control panel that puts the power of creation and the simplicity of use into your hands. Plus, a 99.99% uptime rating. You can get all that over at hostgator.com/FTL. And you know what? I needed to look at the link that Daryl sent. He sent us a link a couple days ago, Mark, and I hadn't even looked yet. Apparently, HostGator has won some awards, by the way.
Yeah, they get hosting awards.
Yeah, so won some of the 2016 annual web hosting awards by HostReview.com.
They're worth switching to. We're lucky to have this program from them. We don't get paid by them to talk about them. We get paid if people use our link and all that stuff. So please do.
Best affordable hosting. First place, HostGator. Best VPS host, HostGator. Best cloud service provider, HostGator. Now, they didn't win best in everything because there's heavy competition in the hosting business.
There's some other good hosts out there.
But that's
Free Talk Live doesn't get a spiff if you do it.
And are you going to get 50% of the off the other?
We also have a discount unlike you're likely to be able to get from anyplace else.
So anyway, HostGator.com/FTL. Let's go to David. He's in San Francisco. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, David.
Hey, howdy, y'all.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, I was watching the Gorsuch hearing today, and man, what a scam.
And you must
that
have been bored.
Oh, not at
Sounds
all.
Awful.
It was not only was it raining and a good way to spend time, but it was if you pay attention to many of these issues, you realize. You remember, in previous calls, I've mentioned that I believe that organized crime is Donald Trump is organized crime. And his backers, for the most part, are organized crime, and that every one of his executive orders and policies are to suit the income streams of organized crime.
Well, you know that's been true of all the other presidents, too. I mean, that's all basically what the government is. It's organized crime.
Well, I don't believe that my government is organized crime, but I do believe that there are...
Well, you're just deluding yourself.
Well, I believe that there are scoundrels who have made their way into positions of power. I mean, this is as old.
That's kind
as
of the
hell.
Dangerous, the danger of power, right? Is that those that are good at seeking power are liable to be people that would, you know, be a little shifty, right? That could massage the truth, and that's sort of the evolution of, you know, the way that positions of power, you know, go, right? Now, Machiavelli isn't known as a nice guy.
Well, that was when there was only a king, and Machiavelli was supposed to be the intermediary between the people and the insane king. But America was founded on a tripartite system of government where there were checks and balances, and that the executive was not all-powerful, the judicial was not all-powerful, and the legislative were not all-powerful.
Sure,
but together they're all-powerful.
Yeah. Together they support the state.
Well, they're supposed to be the ones that are fixing the potholes and making sure that we're not drinking polluted water, that our hospitals and clinics work, our libraries and schools are better than functioning, that we're happy to get up in the morning and not beleaguered by tyrants and evil princes. So the idea that when you start listening and, you know, paying attention to what Gorsuch was saying, all of his decisions apparently suit organized crime's income stream. And so
That Gorsuch has ruled 97% of his rulings have been unanimous with the courts, and 99% have been with the majority. So what you're saying is that the courts generally rule with organized crime? I'll go with that. Sure.
In certain cases,
99%.
Well, because the courts will rule in favor of the state.
That's not to say that every ruling has always suited organized crime. But I'm saying, say, for example, when Donald Trump decides to build a fat wall down in Mexico, he's going to make the price of a passport, whether it's a clean passport or a dirty passport, he's going to make that rise.
Sure is. Absolutely.
And as out here in California, we knew that 20 years ago when we had what was called Prop 187. You know, California has got a big central valley. We need a whole bunch of workers to work the fields. And for a century or so, we've been glad to have Mexicans come up here and work the fields because it, you know, it makes sure that the bread basket is harvested quick and clean.
Yeah, and prior to 1960, and I think it was prior to 1969 or 1966 with the, I can't remember, somewhere in that time frame with the institution of the wetback laws, that's what happened. Mexican laborers would come across the border to work and then go back home. But once you make it, they made it difficult to get across the border, then they stayed.
Well, I don't want to get sidetracked with that, but that's absolutely true. And NAFTA was really, it was supposed to be a happy family of the United States, Canada, and Mexico, but they decided to make Mexico, the sweatshops, and so they're basically locking people into the sweatshops and making sure that all of our jobs go to the to Mexico, and that anybody down there is forced to get, you know, $3 a day or whatever stupid price they're going to get for goods. And so, you know, it's pretty obvious. I call that organized crime. I mean, I call that a scoundrel's paradise. But when you look at the price of, the reason I brought up Prop 187 was the people that wrote the legislation, and 187 was one of these draconian laws that said Mexicans are booted out of California. And the price of a green card at the time was approximately $300. Well, they jacked up when 187 passed. It got up to, if I remember right, it was $25,000 per green card.
Wow,
that was the average price.
So that benefited the who?
The Crummy Lawyers Association.
The organized criminals. I mean, look, I don't understand why.
Smuggling.
Okay, so you can acknowledge that lawyers are organized criminals. Why can't you acknowledge that the government is organized crime?
Politicians who populate the government?
I've mentioned before that my great-great-great-grandfather signed the Declaration of Independence, and I really take exception to the idea that America is just going to, you know, cave in to organized crime.
Don't want to see it. Thank you for the call tonight, because your granddaddy was a politician, therefore he wasn't a criminal.
Weren't all politicians.
Declaration of Independence was a rhetorical document. It didn't found a government.
The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Government meets all the criteria of organized crime. Ross Ulbricht was convicted in early 2015 of running the infamous Silk Road Underground Market. The Silk Road was a gift to humanity and helped reduce the harms brought on by drug prohibition. For this good deed, Ross has been sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. Now, an appeal is Ross's only chance, and he needs your support. Please visit FreeRoss.org, where you can contribute via various methods, including Bitcoin. Visit FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org. It's Free Talk Live. Dial in toll-free and join us here on the radio. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Tonight, it's Ian.
It's Vincent.
And Mark.
We still have to talk about Judge Andrew Napolitano getting the boot from Fox News, apparently. But first, we're going to your calls and thoughts. Also, want to remind you that if you want to support Free Talk Live, then one of the best ways to do it is to amp Free Talk Live over at amp.freetalklive.com. Yeah, NPR's doing their funding drive. That's fine. They need billions or millions of dollars or whatever. We're asking for a few thousand dollars a month.
Well, I mean, frankly, what AMP is it's not even asking. It's not us asking necessarily. It's you believing in the ideas of liberty, and Free Talk Live is a vehicle for those ideas.
Well, I got to ask in order to receive, Mark. I mean, if you don't ask, no one's going to know about it.
I understand.
It's semantics.
It's good to talk about it. That's what
we do best here, Vincent.
Frankly, if you want the idea, it is. It's what we do for a living. We're semantic guys. If you want the ideas of liberty spread, and if you think that Free Talk Live is one of the greatest vehicles for that that historically has ever existed, then the AMP program's for you.
Yeah, $5 a month.
Because you control how much money goes into marketing Free Talk Live and getting us on more stations more downloads and that sort of thing. We don't control it. You control it. You make a difference, and you can get the results, because all of these results are from the amplifiers.
And, it makes a big difference for us. It makes it possible for us to reach out effectively to new radio stations. We are on a trial basis on a certain island that happens to be in the Pacific Ocean, which I can't officially announce which station it is right now, but we're on in Morning Drive. Let's just say that. So very excited about that. Looking forward to hopefully officially announcing that station in the future. So always something new in the hopper, because we're reaching out on mostly a daily basis to stations all across the United States. Sometimes I even call Canada, although so far we've yet to get a Canadian station on
board. Probably never going to go there.
Probably never, but there's a chance. I think
they're very chauvinistic, those Canadians.
There's a chance that we might be able to sneak a weekend gig or something like that on a Canadian.
And they've got all kinds of rules about Canadian originated programming and
yep, that's true. Language. Yeah, yeah, and you can't say certain things in Canada that you can say in the United States.
Like hate speech or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Not that we do that, but you know, our callers might.
I wouldn't even know what the definition of it was.
Right. Like, are the callers also not allowed to do hate speech? So I don't know. We'd have to be real careful up there. But nonetheless, we're trying. And we're getting out there. We've got over 160 stations now. We could have more, and you can help us and get perks. You can sign up with Bitcoin. You can sign up with any major credit card, PayPal. Just go to amp.freetalklive.com. The perks include access to the AMP only Facebook group, the AMP only call-in lines, the AMP only podcast. Go get all the details. AMP, ampamp.freetalklive.com. As we go over to China on Skype, where Ian is on the line. Hello, Ian.
Hello, Ian.
Well, hello.
Rest assured that when we get stateside in May, I will become an amper.
Hey, all right. Cool.
That's a guarantee.
Thanks, man.
Next,
appreciate it.
This guy's talking about a green card costing thousands of dollars. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I think that he's talking about some kind of forged or
maybe the black market.
Yeah, black marketing green cards.
He's got to be, because I just got my wife her green card. It did take 2 years. And it cost me $700 in fees. And I chose to pay an attorney $2,000 to make it go smoothly.
Okay.
I didn't have to use that attorney, but I chose to.
That's not bad. I mean, all things considered, that's not as bad as some of the stories we've heard. So
I think it seems like your
mileage may vary on that kind of thing, because some people get denied and then apply again and denied.
I think it's sad that an American citizen, a U.S. citizen, has to pay money to their government in order to get their spouse in the country.
Mm. Well, the government wants
it's
to get money all the time.
Than you think. When you go to the embassy, and understand, here's China, 1.3 billion people, okay? 70,000 applications a month for American green cards.
Mm-hmm.
And only one place where you can do the necessary interview for an immigration card, one city,
really?
Guangzhou.
It's ridiculous. We
flew 5 hours, 4 hours on the train, 5 hours on the plane for her interview, which lasted all of a minute and a half.
Seriously?
Wow.
What were the questions that they asked?
Well, this is the thing. I was supposed to go in with her because of her English, okay? At the last minute, they changed their mind, and I couldn't go in with her. So she has this big expanding folder with all of her documents all set out, and they literally dumped her folder onto the floor, fished through the loose papers, grabbed a couple, said, clean your shit, get out.
Oh, we can't have you saying that on the radio. I got to get rid of you, but it's an interesting story. I appreciate it. So he was saying they dumped her things on the floor, said,
clean it up,
took a couple pieces of paper out of it, and clean your stuff up and go.
Yeah.
And that was it. I wish we could have heard more about it, but you can't say the S word.
You can always call in tomorrow
on the radio. You can call in another night. But yeah, interesting. They flew for 5 hours for that, on a train for 4 hours for that.
Yeah, and I mean, only one location in China.
All of China.
This is the most populous nation on the planet. Only one location for green cards. I mean,
it's amazing.
I mean, these are the people that are providing us with our engineers, in many cases, our doctors. You know, I mean,
products.
Yeah, you'd think that they'd make it a little easier for them to get here.
Incredible. And then, of course, you know, we also have talked to folks from Africa who. You know, for them, $2,500 is a whole other story. And
sure.
If you're a doctor like that gentleman, or excuse me, he's a nurse. If you're a nurse, you're probably doing all right in comparison to the average African who, in order to find the $160 just to apply for a visa, I was talking with Mustafa, who has called here on occasion to kind of talk to us from Sierra Leone about what it costs to get a visa, and it's, you know, $160 just to apply.
And that's a lot of money. That's like a year's worth of salary
if you're making a dollar a day, and that's, you know, presuming you don't actually buy food with the money that you're or pay rent.
Right.
So yeah, probably at least a year's worth of savings.
Yeah, I've heard from, you know, several guys who've gone over to China that basically it's a better idea to be a young man and spend your money to go to China and get a job speaking English, and you'll have better pay because essentially you're in high demand there as an English speaker, and not just to speak it, but then, you know, these companies go and recruit these English speakers. They move up in the hierarchy of the company because they're able to communicate with their biggest market, the United States. And so I've heard, you know, don't go get a college degree. Go to Southeast Asia.
Hmm. You can join us here. Let's go to Reverend Jim calling from Arizona. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Reverend Jim.
I think when two people form a radio station and call themselves ministers to evade taxes or organized criminals, Vincent, and I also have heard one of them often say that he was no longer Christian because...
What do you think about a person who regularly threatens people's lives? Do you consider that person a criminal?
I've never threatened you.
That's not a good answer. The question, Reverend.
You're a liar. You're a liar. I've never threatened you for an instant.
If people don't think you've threatened me, all they have to do is look up things James Wittekind says on Facebook. I have never added one dot or tittle other than quotation marks to the crap you've said. And they can go and they can see for themselves. They don't have to believe you and they don't have to believe me. You don't have to call me a liar, sir. I'm not. All I've ever done is quote the things you say.
Thanks for the call. Toll-free number tonight, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Yeah, if you want to make up your own mind about those claims, check out Things James Wittekind Says on Facebook.
If you think he hasn't gotten a fair shake on being on the air, I'd like to let you know that James is the most prolific caller we've ever had and has had more time than anybody on Free Talk Live who is not a co-host. But he insists
never enough
on
never enough,
you know, complaining.
Yep.
He needs his own show, but doesn't want to go and make his own podcasts. He wants
I
to
would
come
be so amused by
oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
co-opt somebody else's audience.
Yeah, but he doesn't have anything interesting
them.
To say.
A like, lot he, of a good sorry, a lot of a good quotes are gone now too since I deleted my account.
Oh, that he sent to you? You mean?
Yeah, well, but I posted on Mark's page.
Wait, so you didn't like copy and paste?
Oh, he just posted it, and then it disappeared. When,
yeah, yeah.
When
I deleted my account.
Oh, man.
That's all just right. Some of them, yeah.
That's okay. There's more. Don't worry.
Plenty.
He's probably hammering one out right now on, on Skype. All right, so more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You can join us here. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Skype username is lrn.fm. We do have the ability to, you know, have you join us here and take control of the airwaves. That's kind of the point of Free Talk Live. But we always bring stuff to the table that we think you might find interesting. And we have yet to talk about Judge Napolitano, so that's what we're finally going to do here. But I also do want to invite you over to freetalklive.com, where you can control the content on the website. Everything there on the front page was put there by listeners like you. It's a Reddit-based front page, so it's free to use. And you can submit content to it. So if you find a news story or something that's funny or outrageous or whatever it is you think our listeners will appreciate, you can submit it there to the front page. You can also vote on up or down whether you like or dislike the other submissions by other listeners. And then we'll look at that before we go on the air. And sometimes we'll use some of the content right there from the front page of the site that you might have posted there over at freetalklive.com. It's Ian, Vincent, and Mark in the studio here tonight. Toll-free number if you want to join us in these remaining moments is 855-450-FREE, 855-450-3733, or Skype in at lrn.fm. So what happened with Judge Napolitano? Because I remember it was a few years ago now that they cut his show.
Yeah, he was on Fox Business.
Yeah, he used to have like an hour-long weekly program that he did. I forget what it was called. But all the libertarians were all, you know, loving his show.
And happy that we were on, getting legitimacy and being on this important cable news network.
And then he gets the axe.
Yep.
But they kept him on as...
Stossel's still on.
Isn't he ending his show, too?
I don't know. I mean, he can't live forever.
Well, obviously, he's not
and
that
And those
old.
TV guys actually make good money, you know? I mean, they don't have to keep working.
So, he was on as a commentator, right? Like, they kept having him back as a talking head person. So what's going on? What's the latest, Vincent? Because I saw the headline about him getting cut completely from Fox. What was it about?
So this is from an article from a libertarian site, libertyhangout.org, and so it's published the 20th. 1 week ago, Judge Napolitano reported that three intelligence sources have informed Fox News that President Obama went outside the chain of command, unquote, to spy on the GOP candidate Donald Trump. Napolitano said sources told Fox that Obama used GCHQ, a British intelligence organization, to wiretap Trump during the 2016 election. But the British GCHQ has denied Napolitano's claims, and the intelligence community maintains...
No, they weren't Napolitano's claims. It said right there that Napolitano said sources said. He's only repeating things that other people said.
Well, as he said, you know, sources to Fox, I think maybe in this context, the dependent clause is we're talking about his claims that sources said that.
Well, I mean...
Who did the sources say it to? Was it an exclusive to Napolitano?
How would I know?
He said to Fox.
Okay.
Three intelligence sources have informed Fox News.
I see. Okay.
But the has denied Napolitano's claims, and the intelligence community maintains that his allegations are unverified.
Well, I think what's clear is that Trump was wiretapped in the sense that we are all wiretapped all the time. I mean, the government's collecting metadata on you. They can in many cases, can turn your phone on and listen if they want to.
Your TV.
You know, I mean, right. We're all wiretapped. This isn't. It isn't exclusive to Trump, maybe. I don't know.
But it does sound like the suggestion is that Trump was targeted more specifically than the average.
How would I know? I just don't know.
There are some on Inauguration Day New York Times articles that said, oh, yeah, he was being monitored for ties to Russia. So they said it, right? This was in the mainstream news, as they call it, and so it seems to have been memory hold. Oh, we talked about the Vault 7 leaks, right? This could be, yeah. This is some people tie into the Vault 7 leaks, and, you know, one would expect that there'd be riots in the street and people have been demanding CIA heads.
No.
Because, it makes sense in a world that's not totally crazy, yeah.
Well, right. Yeah.
But, you know, and it's been forgotten about. I don't know anyone in real life who talked about it or mentioned it.
You mean Vault 7? As far as like you're going to school, you never heard a single thing.
Yeah, no, right? No people that the CIA had all these hacking tools and then suddenly they magically lost them without telling anyone. WikiLeaks had to reveal that.
Yeah, we spent a whole week talking about it here on Free Talk Live.
You can believe MSNBC doesn't spend any time at all talking about it.
And and the intelligence community maintains that allegations are unverified.
Well, of course they're going to maintain that.
Oh, yeah.
So there were sources within the intelligence community that went to Fox. Napolitano found out about it. He reported on it.
That's the claim.
And now the intelligence community officially is saying, that's not true. Well, that's what they said after Snowden, right? That's what they said after the CIA.
Right.
Leaks.
So the intelligence community denied everything that Snowden said,
right.
And then Snowden would prove it, and then they would deny the next step.
Right.
So the
same
thing. The leaks that from Snowden stuff put out by Glenn Greenwald were so expertly leaked, and that's why they were important, was because first they would bait the intelligence community into denying something, and then they would show that it's a damn lie, that this organization, that these organizations that have gone around and messed with other people's elections are just so outraged that the U.S. election has been messed with. It's funny comeuppance, really.
And our article's almost over. Napolitano noted in a column published on Fox, by bypassing all American intelligence services, Obama would have had access to what he wanted with no Obama administration fingerprints, unquote.
Mm-hmm. This isn't unusual. We know that the intelligence agencies, the governments of the world, have been using each other to get around whatever prohibitions on spying on their own people. Well, we can't spy on this guy legally, so let's call our buddies up at the GCHQ and have them do it for us. Then they can tell us what they found out, and we didn't break the law.
They do it. They do it. I mean, that's an extreme example of that is rendition, when they would take suspects, international suspects.
CIA
and other intelligence organizations would take suspects and they would torture them in countries that allowed torture.
But it wasn't the CIA that was doing it. They were having their buddies in the country.
They were having other countries do the torture and then getting the results. And by the way, some of those results are what, launched the Iraq war, the lies that were...
Yeah.
given under duress through torture, were some of the information that got the U.S. into Iraq.
Because what do you know? Torture doesn't actually give you good information.
Sure. If you tell somebody that they're, you keep on causing them pain or whatever it is you're going to do and say, tell me where the yellow cake is.
Tell me what I want to hear.
It's in Iraq.
Now, okay, now maybe it gets this. Why are they punishing him over this?
Well, I'm about to get that. Yeah. This prompted Fox News to pull Napolitano off the air indefinitely. After
he reveals something bad that Barack Obama did? I mean,
no, he didn't reveal it. He revealed that somebody told him. Yeah.
Okay,
told him that.
But still, like,
well,
I thought Fox News
was... We don't know if Obama did this.
Okay.
We don't have any idea. This is not a fact, Ian.
Sure, it's an allegation.
It's an allegation, well, and he revealed an allegation.
Right. But this is Fox News.
Which is owned by Rupert Murdoch, who is a huge Hillary supporter.
I don't know. Who's,
I thought
who's
Fox News was a right-wing thing.
Well, it's as some would say, it's controlled opposition. I wonder if it's get these people to, I'll vent it out. And then they have talking heads who just give people what they want to hear with no actual solutions.
I wouldn't even begin to conjecture who controls what or whatever. I mean, it's pretty clear that Fox is right and MSNBC is left. But beyond that, I don't get into it. What I see is that if somebody called me tomorrow and said, I have information that Donald Trump, in fact, has a toupee and not a comb-over. Mm-hmm. And I go on air and say, somebody told me that Donald Trump has a toupee and not a comb-over. I have not said that Donald Trump has a toupee and not a comb-over.
That's right, yeah.
You're doing
the responsible thing and reporting that you've got hearsay. I mean, you could say it's irresponsible to report hearsay, but as long as you acknowledge that it is hearsay, then you haven't done anything irresponsible.
It's going through my filter in that I decide what I say that people have told me and what I don't. I mean, people tell me things all the time that I don't mention on air because, well, frankly, it's boring, weird, or conspiratorial or whatever.
So is there more?
Yeah, just one last paragraph. And, Fox goes into damage control. It says, Vaughn Napolitano alleges that intelligence analysts spoke with Fox News regarding the situation. The network is denying it. Shepard Smith stated on Friday, Fox News knows of no evidence of any kind that now President of the United States was surveilled at any time in any way.
Interesting. And also, by the way, I did check, John Stossel has stepped down from his Fox Business show as of December of 2016. So okay. Stossel's show is over. I don't know if he's going to continue producing.
Call me Fox Business. I will put together a awesome libertarian show for you.
Well, now it looks like they're trying to push the libertarians out, doesn't it? I mean, if
isn't Kennedy there now?
Well, and there's Carlson.
Yeah, I guess she is there.
They say Carlson's a libertarian also.
Tucker Carlson?
Yes, Tucker Carlson.
I would say he's libertarian-ish.
I enjoy his show.
All right, we're out of time for tonight. But Kennedy, I guess, is at Fox Business now. She's pretty libertarian, I can tell.
Mike Malice is on there on a pretty regular basis.
I don't know who that one is.
He beat us at Family Feud, the Freedom Feud in at Porkfest.
Oh, cool. I don't know if I was there for that. All right,
Weren't you on our team?
I was probably on the radio at the time. So we'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, you can join us over at freetalklive.com. You've probably heard the libertarian author Tom Mullen interviewed or talked about on Free Talk Live. Well, Tom wrote a song called You Were Right, Mr. Spock.
out there fighting for. You point out those who start and hide out safely from the fray, making money off the suckers who were forced to die of pain. You were right, Mr. Spock, about everything you said. We humans just aren't logical, you crazy in the head. We'd rather fight in burning houses, play in cities low, and squander our fortunes instead of watch them grow. And do you ever feel like giving up? Do you ever wonder why? Cast your group for the mindless wine. Sometimes it must be hard. Hard to not just smile and say I told you so. But will we ever listen? Will your logic have its day? Or will we stay on self-destruct no matter what you say? You were right, Mr. Spock, it's a fact we better face if we're ever gonna find a way to save this human race. When it seems like every hope is sinking like a stone, remember that no matter what, you're really not alone. You were right, Mr. Spock. You were right, Mr. Spock. You were right, Mr. Spock. You were right, Mr. Spock.
That was You Were Right, Mr. Spock by libertarian author and singer-songwriter Tom Mullen. To get it on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, and more, go to skepticsongs.com. If you want to read Tom's articles and free excerpts of his books, go to tommullen.net.